Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the first day of December, I know, 2018. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Don't get the blues. Kick off your shoes. Here comes, excuse me, the news.
Where is the year gone, though?
No kidding. Cheese and crackers. It's December already.
Yeah, I don't remember much summer.
24 days of shopping left till Christmas.
Yeah. Go out and get those gifts now, folks, before you go there. And all of a sudden, there's excuse me. I think I got the same hairball as you.
Yeah,
it must be
so.
In the air.
Also, do not forget, doggone it, to bring that brand new unwrapped toy to the nearest toy pirate toy fun box and throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know the messages. They pop up on your computer screen with ominous warnings like, your computer has been infected with a virus. Call our toll-free number immediately for help. They often look like alerts from Microsoft, Apple, or Symantec. Sometimes the warnings come in a phone call. Most people ignore the entreaties, which are invariably scams. But 1 in 5 recipients actually talks to fake tech support centers, and 6% ultimately pay the operators to, quote, fix, unquote,
yeah,
the non-existent problem, according to recent consumer surveys by Microsoft. Law enforcement authorities working with Microsoft have now traced many of these boiler rooms to New Delhi, India's capital and hub of global call center industry. On Tuesday and Wednesday, police from two Delhi suburbs raided 16 fake tech support centers, arrested about 36 people. Last month, the Delhi authorities arrested 24 people in a similar raid on 10 call centers. In Gautam Budh Nagar, one of the suburbs, 50 police officers swept into 8 centers on Tuesday night. Ajay Pal Sharma, the senior superintendent of police there, said the scammers had extracted money from thousands of victims, most of whom were American or Canadian. Modus operandi was to send a pop-up on people's systems using a fake Microsoft logo, Mr. Sharma said. After the victims contacted the call center, the operator pretending to be a Microsoft employee would tell them that their system had been hacked or attacked by a virus. The victims would then be offered a package of services ranging from $99 to $1,000,
yeah,
to fix the problem. Microsoft, whose Windows software runs most personal computers, gets 11,000 or so complaints about scams every month. And its internet monitors spot about 150,000 pop-up ads for the services every day. The company's own tech support forums, where people can publicly post items, also see a steady stream of posts offering fake tech support services. Although American authorities have busted such scams in places like Florida and Ohio, the backbone of the illicit industry is in India, in large part because of the country's experience running so many of the world's call centers. India's outsourcing industry, which includes call centers, generates about $28 billion, with a B, in annual revenue, and employs about 1.2 million people. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is scam virus alerts are coming from India. And your choices are, I never answer those, I've been tempted, I've been caught, and computers get viruses? Yeah. So far, we have no idea how many. There we go. 23 people have voted. And most of you, yay, 61% have never answered those. And that's good. But I know you'll have more to say. So if you scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff, you'll see the forums. The first, the forums is the first link there. The second forum set is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the first item under poll discussions is 1 December 18. Scam virus alerts are coming from India. So you can join us in that discussion. And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. 15.
This is not something new. I mean, this has been going on, folks, for quite a few years. And as
decades.
And what we have always been telling you, if something like that pops up, the safest thing that you can do before making that stupid phone call or anything else, shut the computer off.
Right.
Turn it off. See if that same display pops up again.
In fact,
because 99% of the time, that will not pop up again.
It's gotten so bad that the good guys have stopped putting up messages. They don't call you because you can't be sure who's the good guy or the bad guy. The story points out one of the problems in stopping the scammers is that most of them are outside the country. So then you have to work through Interpol or the local police there. So how does Rochester City Police, who gets a report of a scam, talk to the Delhi police to have someone arrested?
Yeah, right. And getting your money back could be a big hassle. I've heard folks on the average pay not $1,000, but I've heard anywhere from $99 up to $350.
Yep.
$350 being the average.
And I've always thought if it was cheaper, if it was only $100, you wouldn't hesitate as much.
Right.
It's $300 to fix my computer. Oh, I don't know about that.
Right. But $100, wow, thanks.
Yeah,
and we'll clean it all up on that. And they take your money and run, and you're still been scammed.
Yep.
I got one from a fake message from Amazon this week, and actually came from Tony at Comcast.
Yeah, I see that.
Two of the three Amazon links were valid, but the link you're supposed to click that saying your account is messed up is actually coming to a company called aceofbladesbarber.com.
Nice!
So whoever that poor barber has got his server compromised.
Compromised, yep.
Now hosting spam.
Yep. It's gotten very, very sophisticated. And what we have to do as individuals is just be wary. You know, we're used to being wary on our walking around and driving around and all of that stuff. But, you know, nobody walks down an alleyway with $1,000 bills hanging out of their pockets anymore. But we are still very complacent on the internet because we're in our home. We're safe. You know, everything is good.
The comforts of your home and doors are locked. And
so psychologically, you're not thinking something bad can get to you there.
Well, that's where I've always told folks, you know, when it comes to opening up emails or going on, you know, that particular website that you are calling that number. You know, knee-jerk reaction, oh, I got to do it right away. The best thing to do is to step back. One, like I said, turn the computer off. And if it's emails and all that, I'm sorry. If you got to even think about calling this bank or Microsoft or anything else, yeah, no, delete it. If they're that important, they'll call you, or you can try to find a number and call them verify.
And that's part of the problem too. Is you try to do a search for tech support, and you'll rarely find the original company because all the bad guys have paid for ads,
right?
And so you might so we hear that all the time. Well, I called Apple and they wanted remote control to my computer. Well, probably not. Well, I typed in Apple Help, and I clicked on the first one that showed up. No.
Yeah, that's an ad. But we see it all the time. We see it more and more often. There's a bunch of them going around on Facebook now. Something happened to your computer. Click and hold this, and when it pops up a thing, don't do that. Don't do it.
Yeah.
And don't pass it on for Pete's sake.
Somebody got into my account, and so the friend request you got was fake. Here, do this.
Yeah, right.
That message is fake, too.
Yeah. Yep. It's a big scam.
Yeah.
It's been going around for a couple months, that one. I got a friend request from you. No, you didn't. It's a scam. Just ignore it. It'll go away. You know, it's just a pain in the butt.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of listeners and that type of stuff.
Yeah. He looked at me when he said that.
Well, it's directed to you. I had somebody, while we were out for dinner, come up to me and say, oh, do you know how to stop a Mac from constantly updating or asking me to update? I go, no, I don't know how to, but wait, I'm doing the show tomorrow. I'll ask Steve how you can turn off updates because he wants to do them when he wants to do them.
Yep. In the system preferences under the Apple menu, there is a button called App Store. And of course, it's different under Mojave now. It's called Software Update. And there is a checkbox for download and tell me. And then there's a box to install app updates, a separate box to install system updates, and a separate box to install security updates. So you can turn off those things and do them when you want. I will often have mine set to download and tell me. So then when I'm ready to do it, it can restart. Yeah.
Before just shoving them in like Microsoft does.
Yeah.
They keep saying they're going to fix that.
Well, in Windows 7 Home, you can't.
Spring's coming too.
Yeah.
You can't turn off the notifications. But Windows 7 Pro, there is a setting to not auto install the updates. But that's only in Pro, and most people don't have Pro.
Right. They all
have Home. My Linux box does that. It downloads them in the background and then just tells me these are ready. When you're ready, click here. 99% of the time, I don't have to reboot. I just click. I just go on with whatever I'm doing, and then later on, I click OK.
It doesn't.
But generally speaking, in any case, it doesn't interrupt me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's always the annoyance, is it interrupts what you're in the middle of. So most of the time on the Mac, on that notification that an update is ready, you can say, remind me tomorrow or try tonight.
Right.
And so in the middle of the night, when you're not using the computer anymore, it can do the update for you.
Yep. We used to see that a lot back when I was employed. I'm retired, not out of work. I am out of work, but the point here is my faculty used to complain all the time that they're in the middle of a class and there's an update to Windows. It just takes over their machine and reboots it. Yep. And I would always tell them what you have to do is come in an hour early. Set your machine up and just sit there and watch it. And if there's an update, it updates.
I do that every Sunday to get into Second Life. And it's like every Sunday or so, there's an update to Second Life app, and it takes an hour and a half to install.
Yeah.
So I got to come in 2 hours early.
Yeah.
So the install is ready. So the last two, three Sundays in a row, I've gotten there. The update is finally. And why does it take an hour to update Second Life?
It shouldn't. Honestly, it shouldn't. How full is your machine?
Not very. It runs this Python script and all this weird. So I've tried to stop the auto updater and just download the update manually, and that still takes forever.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah, we do meet every Sunday night. We meet in Second Life. You can send me a message, Neil Infinity, NIHIL Infinity, and I will teleport you in if you want to join us. We chit-chat about computery stuff. And it's a pretty fun time. Last week was a little sparse. In winter, it gets a little different. So
I was to say holidays and that type of stuff.
Yeah,
but especially last weekend was Thanksgiving weekend.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's
so
folks out visiting families and doing stuff on that.
So. But people like the ability to get answers to their computer questions and particularly for free. And so that's we've been offering this service for nearly three decades now, 29 years, 2 months, and 28 days. 29 years, 2 months, and 20. Heavens, I'm old.
We've been doing it a long time.
And you can join us. You can ask us a question. It's really easy to do. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. If you don't like talking to humans, and after all, who does? You can always text us at 585-209-9010. And of course, I hope you're listening to us live or I suppose on the podcast. Those of you who take a time out during the week, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you who download the podcast every single
and
week.
Listen to us.
So we're very pleased that we're getting out. And they're from all over the world, too. So it's pretty nice.
One thing I was looking at your news and that, and the phone's ringing. I'll get to them in just a moment. But one thing that folks should be aware of right now, a lot of folks are doing a lot of stuff through Amazon and everything else, that type of stuff. there's been a lot of complaints on the Amazon delivery people because they're getting all these other people to contract to deliver, and people are finding it. They even one channel filmed this guy where he just pulls up, goes up on the lawn, and heaves the package.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the postman.
No, it's not postal people. It's private individuals.
If you're calling in, stay on the line. Steve, Dave will get to you soon.
But they are. There's a big issue right now with it. And you folks, if you're ordering stuff, kind of look out for your deliveries because a lot of that mistreatment is going on. Your package might be in somebody else's yard.
Yep. They hung up.
Yeah. Call back.
There was a new scam.
Please call back. Dave, stop talking. He'll answer the phone now.
There was a new crypto scam I read about where you get a message saying, "Dear friend, we've encrypted all of your files, and they want a tenth of a Bitcoin in payment, and they want your
up to a half a Bitcoin, by the way,
right,
now.
Some now, yeah, and they want your IP address and your remote RDP username and password for your computer, so they can log into your computer and decrypt your files after you've made payment." Right. But unfortunately, the way RDP works on Windows Home, especially, is it blanks out your screen while they are connected. So you have no idea what they're doing rummaging around in your computer.
And most of the time, they are not giving you back your files. They're just taking more stuff.
So never pay the ransom. Never let anyone remote connect into your machine.
Right.
Even if you do pay the ransom, you probably won't get your stuff back. In fact, there were a couple of the ransomware scams where they didn't even bother encrypting your data. They just said they did, and people would pay the ransom without checking.
Well, right. Most folks wouldn't know what to look for anyways.
Right.
Oh,
right.
It's encrypted? How does that look?
If you can't open your file, it's encrypted.
Right. Yeah. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Judy from Webster, New York. Hi, Judy. What's up?
Well, a while ago, you said to take CC Cleaner off your machine.
Yeah.
Is there something to replace it?
Right now, we had a couple. There's one called Bleach Bit.
What is it?
Bleach Bit, as in, you know, bleach, Clorox, bleach.
Okay.
B-I-T. So it's B-L-E-A-C-H-B-I-T, which is pretty good.
The problem with CCleaner is that they had an infected download for a while, so that if you were downloading a legitimate program, their servers were attacked, and a lot of people got malicious program instead.
Right. That's gone now, so CCleaner is back to being good.
Oh, all right, because I haven't really downloaded anything since I heard that.
Right. But if you want to try something different, there is a program called Bleach Bit.
Okay. All right, I'll look at it.
Okie doke.
And the Windows Disk Cleanup Wizard is usually the first place to start for trying to clean up extra stuff and space on your hard drive, too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy.
All righty. Bye-bye.
It's always... interesting to see what your downloads folder is full of, because hardly anyone ever thinks of going back into the downloads and deleting the stuff they're done with. So once you download it and install it, you usually don't need the download anymore.
Right.
And it can fill up pretty fast, especially on the newer machines that have smaller SSDs now.
I hate to say that on my to-do list for quite a while now has been clean up temp directory, clean up downloads.
My computer at work, I've got like 1,000 items in the download folders, and it takes 3 or 4 seconds to open now, so I really have to get to it.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I am inquiring if it's worth it to update a older IBM ThinkPad from a 32-bit system to a 64-bit system.
How old?
It's probably easy 6 years old.
Do you know what processor it has in it?
Not off the top of my head. No, I do not.
Okay, so go ahead.
I was gonna say, what do you do with the computer?
Yeah.
Just basically on the internet, doing spreadsheets, that type of, you know, nothing major.
Yeah, the biggest advantage 64-bit gives you is being able to install more than 4 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
Which can be useful if you're running a lot of big programs at the same time.
Yeah, not a faster machine.
Yeah.
Right. So in general, how much RAM is in that machine?
Currently, there's 2 gig.
Yeah, you don't. You're not going to run 64 gig on that anyway. You really don't want to.
No.
Right.
You could update the system, but a 6-year-old machine.
Mm-mm.
Now you're playing craps.
Okay.
So how much of a gambler are you? Really is what we're talking about here. My suggestion would be leave it alone and let it live out its life.
And if you're that interested, I mean, there's some great deals. I mean, you couldn't pick a better time right now, the holiday season, that there's a lot of laptops out there at a good price.
Yeah. My rule of thumb generally is if you've got less than 4 gigs of RAM, put a 32-bit system on it, and 4 gigs or more, a 64-bit system.
Yep.
It wouldn't make a difference, though, for like Linux 32 or 64-bit. I mean, that doesn't give you any difference, does it?
Not really, no. The nice thing about Linux is the programs are identical, completely identical. The major difference, as Dave and Steve said, is memory management. And you don't worry about that quite so much with 2 gigs of RAM. And it's really only when you have more than 4 gig, well, more than 3 gig, that a 64-bit system actually is useful.
Okay. So I'll keep what I have. I enjoy my ThinkPad a lot. So
there you go.
It's a durable little machine.
I had a ThinkPad with Linux on it. I loved it.
I truly love it.
Good for you.
Okay, thank you for the information.
Thanks, Bob.
Do you remember who else used to have a ThinkPad?
Oh, Bob. Bob had a ThinkPad. That's right.
He had that thing, and he dropped it more times, and there was glue in, I think, 3 out of the 4 corners holding the thing together. We're talking about a very dear friend of ours, the late Bob Smith.
Yep.
Very dear friend of ours.
That thing was built like a Russian tank.
Yeah, and he had that thing for the longest time. That was his pride and joy.
Yep.
Couldn't get over that.
Yep, very cool machine.
I like the, there was one model where as you lifted the screen, the keyboard would spread out to give you a full-size keyboard, but when the screen was closed, it was a compact computer.
Yep, it was very, very nice. I actually had one of those for a while through work, and it was very nice, but it was also pretty delicate.
Yeah.
That was not the Russian tank model.
Really cool engineering, but...
Right. But IBM, of course, made the ThinkPad and then sold the product to Lenovo. Pretty cool product. I really liked it. Nobody liked the little red
eraser
thing, but other than that, I really loved it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It's 28 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Before we get back to the phones, let me just remind you that yesterday was Computer Security Day, International Computer Security Day. So this would be a good time to catch up, clean up your machine. Do all the good stuff that you haven't gotten around to doing.
Actually, let me post that Google thing. Google has a nice security checkup to let you know what devices are still on your account.
So right.
That phone you got rid of 6 years ago is still on your account.
Yeah, yeah. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. Hi, Walter. What's up?
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for all you do for us.
Thank you.
In the computer world. I have two questions. I have a question for you. I have two laptops. Each of them is running Ubuntu long-term 16.04, and both of them have lost their video output to use different monitors, an external monitor. They've been updated. The one is a legacy machine, and you know it has the output that's before HDMI. The other one is a laptop that I purchased 7 months ago, and the HDMI ports don't work.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Are you plugging both of those into the same monitor, and could it be the monitor that's the problem?
No, because here's the interesting thing, in that I decided, I looked on the internet, tried what the people were talking about of, you know, maybe there's a conflict with GNOME Display Manager and Light Display Manager, made the changes, did whatever, nothing happened. I then obtained a copy, I've used before, MX Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the live disk, both work. Then I went ahead and installed it, both work.
But it's only Windows that doesn't work.
No.
It's Ubuntu.
Oh.
It's Ubuntu, and it's the 16.04. The legacy machine failed earlier, so that's why I went out and purchased the new one, the 7-month-old one, and that was running fine, and then suddenly it just no longer worked. And MX Linux on, and it's running fine.
Yeah, because MX Linux is using the newer NVIDIA drivers. If you've got the old NVIDIA drivers, they don't work well.
Okay, I tried that.
You installed NVIDIA 387?
I don't recall, sir. Sorry.
I went ahead and hit through...
Was it Synaptic or whatever else it is? There's one of the things that you can go to install update drivers or whatever, and went through it that way through Ubuntu.
Yeah, no. And the reason is that as of at least earlier this year, I know, the NVIDIA had a newer version than was even in Ubuntu.
Ah.
So there is a way to fix that Steve is going to post online. It's basically you replace, you purge the NVIDIA video driver entirely, then you update the PPA, the I forget what that stands for, and add the one directly from NVIDIA, and then you reinstall their driver number 387.
Okay.
And that should do it. You can also try the Nouveau driver and just at least see if that works. But replacing the NVIDIA driver with the correct 387, NVIDIA-387, would do it. And Steve's putting up a thing on that right now, so you'll see that in about a minute.
Okay, excellent. But can I tell you one thing, though? I also did with the 7-month-old one. In fact, I called you a while ago in that. I tried to install 18.04.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried and followed your advice before, cleaned out, made it as basic a machine as possible with 16.04, hit the upgrade button, and you can't believe the horror story that it went into.
Well, 18.04 was not my favorite. 18.04.1 is better.
Well, that's what I did. It was very recent, 18.04.1.
Yeah.
And what happened is that even the Dell diagnostic machine said, it popped up and said, we don't recognize your power pack. We can't power your battery. It said this is a defective power supply.
Wow.
And then in order to log off, log off and then go to another user, it wouldn't do it. I'd have to shut the machine off, and I'd have to shut the machine manually to turn it off.
Wow.
Yeah, so 18.04.1 was not friendly with this machine. So I may be just sticking with MX.
Why not?
Yeah, seems very friendly.
Yeah. Well, I haven't played with it much myself, but I have heard of it, and it seems to be a pretty nice version of Linux.
Right now I'm very impressed with what it has. I mean, it even comes equipped. I have to take one of them to my father. He doesn't have internet backup. I have to use my external modem, and MX comes equipped already to do dial-up. I can't believe it.
Wow.
So, well, thank you for telling me what the heck's going on with the 16.04, and I'll go from there.
Right, right, right. Go for it.
All right. Thanks again so
yep,
much.
Thanks.
Have great holidays ahead.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's NX technology, which was developed by a company called No Machine.
Hello, your name?
Pretty cool product. But yeah, there are many, many versions of Linux. I recently was playing around with, I can't think of which version it was. Mate. Ubuntu Mate. I really liked it.
Isn't that what Chung Lee had to say to Jean-Claude Van Damme at the end of the
yes,
match?
Yes, it is.
That means uncle, right?
I give up. Stop, actually.
Stop.
Yeah.
It's like saying uncle.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't kill me.
I have a friend who is a judoka.
Barrington.
What?
Barrington.
Barrington. Thank you. I have a friend who's a judoka, and she does have a problem at the end of a spar hearing the word mate.
Which is something you don't want to miss when you're the one on the bottom.
Yeah, right, 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 right. You don't want the other person to miss when you're the one on the bottom. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ernesto from Parenton, New York. Hi, Ernesto, what's up?
Hi, guys. Listen, I was trying to update Windows. I have an HP desktop about 4 years old, and it said it couldn't update anymore, that I had to reset the whole machine, and I did it, and then it wiped out all the programs that I had, and so I'm back to just basic Windows. Does that mean anything in terms of the hard drive, or I don't know what happened?
Well, that's a lovely question. It's only a four-year-old machine, but on the other hand, the average lifetime of a hard drive is 5 years, so it's certainly possible. What you might need to do... if I were you, I would bring it to a reputable dealer and have them do some testing on it. It's certainly safer than worrying whether you've got a ticking time bomb under your desk. And of course, I'm sure you're doing backups quite regularly and quite religiously.
not quite.
Well, you should be.
Yeah.
Any computer should be doing backups all the time, but particularly as your machine starts to get older and you're running Windows, you really want to make sure that you have consistent, good, and regular backups.
Okay.
Do you remember why it said it needed to reset?
It said it couldn't update and that I had to reset the whole machine. So I went and did that and wiped out everything except for Windows. And it works now.
I have
to reinstall whatever.
Yeah, you're going to have to reinstall everything. And I apologize. It's part of Windows' brute force method of fixing issues. Rather than actually fix the issue, they make the issue go away by wiping out your entire computer.
We've heard from people that they've been told that on the phone from tech support from Microsoft and from Apple, and they're not told that wiping the computer means they're going to lose all their files.
Right.
And so where'd all my files go? They're gone. We erased them.
Everything's gone.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm so sorry that happened to you, but that's one of the issues with Windows. It's why we tell people to back up.
Okay.
The other issue, of course, is that you're going to have to put back all your programs,
right?
Which means you have to have legitimate copies. I'm sure you do, but there are many people who do not.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. So, we're always reminding people that if you're going to continue to use Windows, you must do backups.
Okay.
And take a look at a lot of the free programs like LibreOffice or Google Docs or something along those lines, which would or Office 365, which all happen online, and therefore, even if your machine crashes and you have to buy a new one, all your data are still online and secure and ready to be used.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. No worries.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. No, thanks.
I do hate to hear that. It always makes me sad.
Yeah.
But it's one of the issues Windows has and has always had, as we all know. But we continue to use it, and I understand that, and I sympathize with those to whom this happens. But you can mitigate the issue by always having a series of good backups. Backup is our mantra, and you can't say it often enough. So please remember that you've got a ticking time bomb, and you need to make sure that that time bomb is safe by having a secure and constantly updated backup on your machine. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Greece, New York. Hi, not on your machine, off your machine. Our next caller is Larry from Greece, New York. Hi, Larry.
Hello, Nick. Simple thing, I hope. Once or twice a day from Super Anti-Spyware, I get a little note saying, new startup item, you ought to run a scan.
Have you installed anything recently?
Nothing I can think of.
Yeah, this is actually not uncommon.
Okay, just, it only started in the last month or two. I've had it for a long time. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people are posting what they're doing.
Does it say what the new startup item is?
Nope.
No, it just says new startup item. Well, you're running Windows 10?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people are seeing it, and I don't have an answer for it. I think the suspicion that they have right now is that it's got something to do with updating things like antivirus. Right.
So the new startup item is itself.
Well, it's not an antivirus. It's an anti-malware. So yeah. It's anti-spyware.
But
so.
It could have updated itself, and now there's a new version of Super Anti-Spyware in the startup.
More likely, your whatever your antivirus software is got updated, and so there's a new. It's a new version of that. The other thing, I think that's the thing to do. They think it could also be, although the anti-spyware people haven't, the super anti-spyware people haven't said anything, it could be because you get a new tracking cookie and it's flagging those. Make sure you look through your setup and see if there's a thing that turns off notifications for cookies.
And you can turn off notification that startup items are added, but that's kind of a bad thing because if a malicious startup item gets in, you want to be notified.
Yeah,
but if there's too many false positives, that's bad too.
Yeah, it's definitely a bug at this point. I don't know what to say. I wish I had a better answer for you.
I did remember one other quick thing. McAfee, when it does a scan, has a rootkit scan too. Is that good enough to satisfy the Windows Waltz? Or is there a separate better one?
That's good in general. The problem with root scanning, which is something I try to address in the Security Tango in the Windows Waltz, the problem is that you have how do I best put this? Rootkits hide themselves by the very nature that they are rootkits. They take over the machine before anything else boots.
Yeah.
So the proper way, you may be able to detect a rootkit with McAfee once that rootkit is running, but you cannot remove it.
Right.
The way you remove it is to boot with a separate product, and then that rootkit that's in your startup of your hard drive doesn't have a chance to start. So if you use Linux live disk or something along that
line. Other CD or flash drive or that. And the key thing is you're trying not to access any of the information from the C drive. So on the boot initialization, you have to have it either boot to a flash drive or, like Nick said, to a CD, whether it's Linux or anything else, just so it doesn't access the hard drive, because that's where the rootkit is going to kick in the minute before anything else on that C drive is accessed, that rootkit kicks in.
Right, and that's part of what that art kill.
Think about the recommendations are in the Security Tango, and in there it says download a rootkit scanner.
Right, right, right. And in terms of that, it works fine. It won't remove them, but it will detect them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll stop them from future getting in.
Yep.
You know, because if you don't have something there to protect you, you're looking for root kicks ahead of time, they're going to sneak in, and that's what, you know, causes a lot of issues.
Right. Got
okay.
it?
Okay. Thanks a lot, and have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Thank you very much, Larry.
Well, yep.
Bye-bye.
A lot of the boxed software will come with their own boot disk that
right.
can be used to clean things like that. But stuff you download now, you need to make your own. Very, right. In fact, even software you buy in the stores now in a box doesn't come with disks. It's the license code and instructions on how to download it.
Right.
Which you'd want to do anyway to get the latest version.
Right.
Because who knows how long that box has been since manufacture. But it's kind of interesting. It also means they can make the boxes smaller. They don't have to hold a disk anymore.
And they're lighter, so they're cheaper to ship.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim, also from Greece, New York. Are you two guys in cahoots here, Jim?
No, no, don't know the other guy. hey, I've been listening to you for 10 years since I've been back in town, and I really appreciate you doing this for us.
Thank you so much.
I've got a question. I got Windows 10. I just had my laptop crapped out, so I had to update to Windows 10. Doing text-to-speech on Windows 10 with Word. My previous version of Dragon doesn't work anymore, of course. I tried right. 13. That doesn't work. And 15 is close to $300. I've done the Windows plus H when I'm on the Internet, and that seems to work, but it doesn't stay on for very long. It's like it clicks off after about 5 seconds. So
the text-to-speech does?
Yes.
Are you... Hold on. Are you... I'm confused now. Are you using text-to-speech in order to run your machine, or are you using it to dictate text?
Dictate text into Word.
Okay. And into Word local or Word online?
No, Word local on my computer.
And it's stopping?
Yes.
How much memory does the computer have?
Oh, gosh, more than enough. I don't know, I'd say 64.
Yeah, that should be enough. Because I know dictation is a pretty memory-intensive thing.
Right. This is a known thing as well.
Are there any other better programs out there or cheaper programs?
Well, they're certainly cheaper. There is a thing called...
And there's
called
better that aren't cheaper.
Right. There's a thing called Google Docs.
Uh-huh.
And that is an entirely online product.
Okay.
And the way that it works is you go into Docs and under Tools, you turn on Voice Typing. And then you just hit the button when you want to, to start it, and then hit the button again to stop it when you're done. And it does take dictation, and it does, hello, !! How are you, !! I'm fine, !2, period, new paragraph. That, it does all that stuff. But what's interesting is if your connection is fast enough, it's real time. As with every dictation system, you want to be able to speak clearly. A little slowly isn't necessarily bad, but you want to be able to speak clearly and coherently. It picks up a lot of your ums and your uhs and all that stuff. So you want to be fairly clear on what it is you want to say, but it works quite amazingly well.
I'm used to dictating through that. It's worked for 10, 15 years now.
Right.
But the issue gets to be the other one they recommended for the Windows products was the Windows plus H. And you got to be on the Internet. And that's part of the equation is it works good when it's working. But the problem is if you pause for longer than about 5 seconds, it clicks off.
Right.
I have found that dictation doesn't like going more than a couple of sentences without stopping and
I've done lots and lots of stuff on Google Docs.
Yeah.
I mean, half an hour. The other day I was writing something, my cat jumped into my arms and So I just turned on dictation, kept talking while I was playing with the cat. It was fine. Cat liked it too. One of the things that you can try for, are you Office 2016 or which version?
It's an earlier one. I think it's 2010.
Okay. Well, this may still work. Try running a repair on it. Restarting might fix it, but you can also run a repair. And you can repair Office from your control panel in the drop-down list. You can run it that way. But that's the only other choice you might have. I'd suggest, at the very least, give the Google Docs thing a try. You can always, when you are done with a document, you can download it as a Word document.
Okay.
So if you need to share it with someone or edit it later or do anything you want to do with it, you can do that offline as well.
Yeah, because that's what I'd like to do, is be able to do all the formatting that Windows gives me, Word gives me.
Yeah, sure.
The second part of that is, if I do a repair on the Word program, can I use my previous version of Dragon?
Probably not.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay, second question is, if I do an uninstall on an app or a program, does it actually wipe it completely off the computer?
Or nope, it does not.
Nope.
That's one of the reasons that we recommend that people use a program called Revo Uninstaller, R-E-V-O. What Revo does is when you install it and then you uninstall programs through Revo instead of the regular uninstall program, it also removes all the cruft that's left behind in the registry. One of the problems with, well, there's a lot of problems.
Yeah, registry, with the registry. And hidden folders within your hard drive.
Right, but the registry is a very delicate thing where Microsoft mm-hmm. throws everything. And so it grows bigger and bigger over the time. One of the reasons that people's computers slow down over time, take much longer to boot up, over time, is because that registry has grown from a couple of hundred megs to a couple of hundred gigs. Right. It also fills up your hard drive, oh, by the way. So using something like Revo One Installer can get rid of all of the cruft and nonsense and junk that is built up in the registry over time, and using it on an ongoing basis. We always recommend that the first thing you install when you buy a new Windows machine is Revo One Installer, and let it and do all the uninstalling through that.
Great. Okay. Super. Thank you for your help.
Oh, my pleasure. Have fun.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and it's also, as Dave pointed out, there are also lots of hidden folders that are left behind, bunch of junk. It's like a rabbit. When you install a program, it's like a rabbit that's pooping all over the house, and it's never going to clean up after itself, and good luck finding all the pellets.
Just all the files in the just the hard drive. Then, like you said, it's a big tangled mess once you get into the registry, because it's usually just not in one area. It could be in easily 10 other folders that you wouldn't even think to go looking for.
Right.
And Revo will go down and root itself down there and find every incident of it and totally clean it out. Because that's the other issue, too, is when you say install software package, it doesn't go right.
Yep.
And you say, all right, well, you use that program's uninstaller. Windows is dumb enough, all it does is turn off one bit and it leaves all that stuff in the registry. Meanwhile, you go ahead and install it again. Now it adds that program and all the junk that it has to have for that back into the registry.
Yep.
And like we said, that's how the registry grows.
Yep.
And makes the system slow down.
It's good at adding, but not good at deleting.
Exactly. All right, we're done for our first hour. We'll be back, however. We're gonna take a short break, and then we'll be back and do this all over again. Well, we'll do some new stuff, too. But we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and that show is Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are indeed member-supported Jazz 90.1. Take a quick bio break. I will. And we'll be back in just a few minutes with a whole nother hour of Soundbites.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Steve from Greece, New York on the line. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple questions. I'm sure both of them will be very quick for you guys. I just got that very envious email from Greenlight about my internet.
Yeah.
And one of the questions they ask when you're applying is if I wish to pay $10 for a static public IP.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering, what is it worth $10? What do they want for an additional? What does it give me for an additional $10 a month?
If you're the sort of person who runs your own mail server or your own web server or some other system that requires that people be able to reach it consistently on the same address via the internet, then that's what that's for, and it's well worth it for you in that circumstance.
But other than that, it's just throwing $10 away.
But otherwise, it's not something you need as an individual user, no.
Is there any advantage to just being a regular surfer and not a server to using it?
No. People who run their own web servers, even if they're online, can then lock those down so that they are only accessible from that static IP address. But if you're not a person who runs your own stuff either at home or via the internet, you have no use for a static IP address.
All right. Thank you very much. That saves me $120 a year.
There yep. you go.
And Privacy Badger, have you heard of it? Do you have an opinion on it?
Privacy Badger?
Yes.
No, I'm afraid I've not heard of it at all.
Okay, it was one of those things I got from PC World.
it looks like it's from the EFF.
From the FF?
The Electronic Frontier Foundation. So it's from a reputable organization.
Okay. Yeah, so PC World sends out these tips and short articles and things like that, and that was one that I think wasn't directly, but it linked from one of their pages, and so I thought I'd, before I recommend it, I do some web stuff for a group, and before I recommend it to that group, I thought I would get your opinion on it.
Well, the EFF is certainly a well-known organization, as Steve said, and Privacy Badger looks like what it does is blocks trackers.
Not supported in Safari, not supported in Chrome. So what is it supported
in? No, it is
in?
Supported in Chrome.
Oh, it says install. Sorry, I thought it said not supported.
Right. Chrome, Opera, and Firefox looks like what it's what it works with. But you're right, it doesn't work with Safari.
Well, I wasn't going on any journeys anyway.
But yeah, it looks, I mean, you know, I haven't read up about it yet, but it, you know, I tend to believe the Electronic Frontier Foundation is doing good things. It seems to be, it works, I suppose, like AdBlock and a bunch of others, but it's a browser add-on that stops advertisers and other third-party trackers from secretly tracking you. You know, that anytime you go to a web page, they will try to put cookies on your system. Some even more unscrupulous places like Facebook put something called an universal cookie on your system, which tracks you no matter what website you're on, or super cookies and things like that. So you can. It looks like this does a pretty decent job of blocking all that nonsense.
And a lot of the browsers are starting to add anti-tracking things built into the browser now because it is such an interesting such a problem. And it's interesting to see what Chrome is going to do because Google is one of the biggest advertisers. So it wouldn't be good for them to block tracking because that's how they make their money.
Right. Well, you mentioned that super cookie that Facebook does. Is there any way to block that or remove it?
Well, theoretically, this privacy badger does that.
Okay.
And because so many websites have a Facebook icon on them, and Twitter, and you know LinkedIn, and Reddit, and all the other social media sites, those companies know every site you go to because it has an icon on that site you just went to.
All right.
Yeah, I solved that by not using the same browser for Facebook that I use for everything else.
Oh, what a clever idea.
Thank you. And that way, there's no cross-pollination.
I had not considered that, and I probably got 5 browsers installed.
Well, and that's just it. And I might as well just use, you know, since I don't use 4 of them anyway,
yeah.
Pick one for Facebook.
Oh, well, I do like the browsers because I can have I have 3 Gmail accounts.
Yeah.
I have a different browser for each account.
Nice.
I don't have to log out and log in.
Yep. That makes sense.
So it's really quick to switch accounts.
Yep. Makes sense to me.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. As always, you're most helpful.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Steve. Keep smiling.
Okay, though. Bye-bye.
And not to plug or anything, but Greenlight has upped their standard speed to 500 megabit for their regular price.
Yeah, for $50.
Because the cable company is 100 megabit for $65. So when they were offering 100, that wasn't much of a deal. So now
nice.
You can get
$16.
Yeah. So now you can get 500 megabyte for that. And Tyler in our office, they just got the upgrade automatically. So he was showing us the speed test on his phone and he was getting 480 and we wanted to hit him.
Yeah.
So just like we wanted to hit you when you got 100.
Yeah.
Now I've got 100 and okay.
Oh, I should check. I'm
yeah, you might be higher now.
Too. Right. And they've done, thank you very much. They've done a great job. I will say that, you know, the reality is this, and I have to be honest, 99.999% don't need that kind of speed.
Yes, I do.
But I will.
We are the 1%.
We are the 1%.
You two are.
But is it great to have. I got to be honest. It is great to have. It is great to have. Thank you very much. And I know you mean that from the bottom of your knuckle.
I've got another one for you.
Yeah, I know. I know. On the other hand, but thank you. That went out over the air, by the way. But thank you.
Adjustment glass.
Yeah, adjusting your glasses, yeah.
They come up and said, sorry, in my area, they're not going to, you know, it's there, but it's such an old neighborhood. I got better chances of getting hit by lightning than I do for the people, because I went around the neighborhood back last year. Even had a sign on my front lawn trying to get people to sign up. Yeah, everybody else in the neighborhood was signing up, but any of the people for my area.
Right.
They're so old, it's like, yeah, no, that ain't going to happen.
Right. No, I get it. I do.
I'm not getting it.
I get it, yeah. I was very lucky. I was an early adopter. I got to be an early adopter, and I'll never look back. I loved it. I loved it. I don't care. I loved it.
Yeah, no, I'm envious of it.
Yep. It's very cool.
Especially, you know, since we have cut the cord and we do, you know, Sling, everything is over the internet. And just going to the service that I have now has made a big difference from the service that I had from previous.
Right.
So, but a 100 meg would be nice.
100 meg is pretty cool stuff.
So what they... I'm sorry.
Well, so Time Warner offers 100, and now Greenlight is offering 500.
500.
And if you really want, you can get 1,000. Actually, Time Warner offers 960. I guess they don't want to promise 1,000 because they can't get 1,000. Actually, what they're not Time Warner anymore. And what was kind of nice about Spectrum is they advertise 100, and I usually get like 110.
Yep.
Where with Time Warner previously, they advertised 20 and I got, you know, 12.
Right.
Give more than you advertise and people are happy. So if they'd have said 10 and you got 12, you've been happy. But you say 20 and you get 12, you're mad.
Right, right. That's
yeah, well,
exactly
I'm getting
right.
about 85 right now.
Yeah.
Well, it is rare that you
well,
will
get... Well,
you've
got business, right? Mm-hmm. Business is still 60. Residential is 100. We right. rent. We run into that in our business, too. We only get 60. We can pay more to get 100, but...
Right.
So 60 is better than the 6 we had
yeah,
previously.
Yeah, and to go to the 100, though, then I got to bundle it with something else.
Yeah.
Because you just can't have right. just the internet for home. You've got to bundle it with something else. And it's like, yeah, no. Pay for something I'm not going to use?
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other nice thing I have to say about Greenlight is it's just, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't care what else you do on it. They you know, if you want to get Hulu and Netflix, one of the things that Time, excuse me, Spectrum keeps lobbying for is this killing of net neutrality so that they can then say, well, we're going to charge more if you want Netflix.
Well, that's the thing. They are starting Spectrum and that announced that they're going to start raising some of their prices.
Well, right. And that's the point.
Yeah.
If with the death of net neutrality, they can now do that and mm-hmm. they want to. So, you know, we'll see where all of that goes.
So all the folks that thought, yeah,
right now.
Oh, no, that, you know, yeah, they need to be able to do it. Well, good. Now you're going to get what you, you know, asked for. And the prices are going to go up. So don't start complaining and bitching because now all of a sudden your bills are going up.
Right.
Because, yeah. Oh, yeah, net neutrality. They didn't really understand what it meant and got behind the wrong horse.
Well,
on that
it was that basic idea that, in fact, it's exactly the opposite. You know, there's a lot of that going on right now. They say it's it's actually completely wide.
Do you want the internet to be free from regulation? Then vote against a net neutrality.
Yeah, right. Right.
We
yeah.
want it to be regulated to make everyone neutral.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what internet neutrality was.
And people got confused on it and yeah. backed the wrong horse. Now they're going to pay dearly with higher prices. Yeah. It's just going to happen. I mean, that's just the way it's going to go. Because, yep. you know, more and more folks are looking at cutting the cord. And there's more and more packages coming out, whether it's Hulu or Amazon, like me with Sling and Netflix and all these others that are coming out. Well, I just saw another one in replacing Roku. It's something, Home TV or TV Home. It's another box that you can get. Same type of thing as the Roku box, and they advertise right. getting Sling or any of these others. I mean, that's one thing now I think it's been, what, 3 years for me that I have cut the cord. And darn glad that I did, folks, because, you know, I started looking. And this is something we've told folks before. You know, I'm going to cut the cord. Well, you got to do your homework first.
Right,
because there are so many different packages out there. And what I did, and this took me, I'll bet you, a good couple of months. But I sat there and kept track of what stations I like to watch.
We talked about that. Yeah. That's something yeah. you've got to do.
You got to sit there and write down and not just try to do it, you know, in just a couple hours.
Yeah.
No, because you know what? You're not going to remember all the different shows.
Right. And not just the channel number, the network it's on.
Yeah. So right. you got to sit down and make this list. And that, I'm proud of myself. I'll honestly admit it's something I took the time and really researched into months. Right. Not just a couple days, you know, checking out the web and doing this and that. No, I sat there and had a pad of paper right beside the TV, and I'd write down stuff that I was watching. And I kept this over a month. So then when it came time to look putting together packages, I go, oh, Sling has everything that I particularly want. And they have different groups. So I was able to pick, you know, very informatively and go with that one. And like I say, coming up on 3 years, and I've been very happy with it. And
saving a bunch of money every month.
Yeah, I get, matter of fact, I even added the Hallmark channels in that on and a few other channels that are in that bundle because they have groups. It only cost me an extra $5. So for cutting the cable, it only cost me $29.99. For Sling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all the channels I want. And
and none you don't want.
And the other thing is, yeah, and the other thing they've just added for $5 more, if you want, they have a DVR service.
Yeah.
So if there's other programs on there, say A&E or any of these others, Off the Grid, I want to watch, and DIY or any of those, I can sit there if I wanted to and record it and view it later.
Yep.
The other...
There's a new one I've been reading about called Pluto TV, too. And someone in our YouTube chat had just mentioned it. That's another one of the new streaming services where they have a lot of different networks available.
That's an app you can add to things like Roku.
Right.
One of the other things I discovered with the Sling is that I can sit there and say a program's just about the, you know, you could... Oh, shoot, I missed that program, and it's coming up to the last couple of minutes. You can click on it, and it'll bring up this little menu and says, you want to start it over?
Yep.
Oh, heck yeah. So it starts it back over. I can get into it for a little bit. Say I watch 10, 15 minutes. I can stop it. And then it puts it down below the bar. So later on, if I come back that day, I can go back over to that one and click on it and go resume where I was watching from.
Yep. And there's an amazing channel. Number of alternatives.
Yeah.
That's why it takes a while.
You got to, again, all going back to do your homework and due diligence.
I just found it scrolling through the Pluto channels. They have one called Flicks of Fury.
Ooh.
That's all Hong Kong cinema. It reminds me a lot of El Rey on Charter.
Right. Sony just did one too, and it's free. It's Sony Crackle.
Yeah, they've had that for a while, and
it's a freebie.
It's only Sony properties,
right?
But since Sony has a TV studios and movie studios, there's a lot of stuff on there.
There's a lot of movies there, and again, it's all free. You can go through a lot of movies there that I happened to go through. I think it was Sunday. I thought, cool. So I signed up for it. And again, you can watch it on any device, whether it's a tablet, home TV, or that. And
one of the biggest problems with the streaming service is live sports. And so if you watch a lot of live sports, you got to be kind of careful about which service you go with to make sure they have those sports.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you end up subscribing to the ESPN network separately. And that becomes one of your choices, so that they have all those sports that ESPN shows.
Right, and there are a bunch of
even pro volleyball on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
The what?
The Ocho.
The Ocho.
No, that's an old movie.
There's a bunch of sites you can go to on the web that will compare in table form the various choices.
I just posted one from CNET.
There you go.
But yeah, it all starts with you writing down a list of all the networks you watch, and
when you watch them, and it really take a spreadsheet and list them all out, and then print it, and then make check marks, and you'd be surprised at how little how few channels you actually watch in a week.
Well, that's why I was surprised. That's why I took the time, like you say, over 2 months writing down stuff, because maybe it was off for a few weeks, and you forget about it. You know, like right now during the holiday season, some programs are going on hiatus,
right?
For until January. So that's why I gave myself some time. And wait a minute! And there was a few others that I forgot all about that one.
People spend a lot of time, you know, buying a new car, looking for a house, because that's a huge hit all at once. But if you add up the amount of money you've spent on your streaming entertainment, you've spent at least as much as you paid for a car, and maybe as much as you paid for a house.
Yep.
So it's probably not a bad idea to spend a couple of weeks or a couple of months planning out what your next step is going to be.
And if you like British television shows, there's Acorn TV and BritBox, where you can get
BritBox, pretty amazing.
Yep, a lot of the British shows that you can't see on American television. I want to get Dave, though, so I can catch up on Red Dwarf. There's a TV network in Britain called Dave.
Yeah.
And it's been like three new seasons of Red Dwarf.
Oh, D-A-V?
D-A-V-E.
Oh.
Yeah, the full the full name. One.
Full name, D-A-V. Dave TV, yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joel from Pittsford, New York. Hiya, Joel, what's up?
Hi, guys. Well, you guys are talking about cutting the cord. And one of our volunteers has done a presentation. It's going to be on the 12th at the JCC, free and open to the public. This guy has, he did it once. We had over 130 people again, so we're doing it again.
Nice.
It's on cutting the cord, and again, everybody's welcome. Just pop over to the JCC on the 12th at 1 p.m., and you'll learn more than you probably want to know about cutting the cord. But it's a really good talk, and I wanted to share that with you guys and the listeners.
Thanks, Joel. On the at the JCC, the 12th of December, 1 p.m.
Right.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Right. Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, you've heard us just talking about it, and Joel says the same thing. Cutting the cord is complex.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds simple.
Yeah.
Just stop paying whoever you're paying and move on to online stuff. Okay, yes, yes. At heart, I guess it is that simple. But which one do you get, and how you know much does it cost, and what mm-hmm. are you missing, and how do you get what you were missing, and yada, 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 yada. It's a very difficult thing. Like, for example, one of the things that I really like about Google TV or YouTube TV, whichever they're calling it this week, is you get unlimited taping. What do they call it? DVR.
DVR.
Unlimited DVR, and they hold any show, every show, in fact, for 9 months. So you can say, oh, I want this one, I want that one, I want that one, and it'll hold it for 9 months. That's part of the same deal. You don't even pay extra for that. Problem is, they don't have a couple of the channels that I like to watch. So now what?
You have to add that
if that's available,
right,
as an add-on, right? And so it really becomes a balancing act. It becomes a weighing act, and you have to decide. And the only way you can decide is to have real information behind you, and that information comes from what Dave was saying. Print out a spreadsheet, put it next to your television. Every time you watch a show, make a mark in that cell and see how many marks you have at the end of 3 or 4 months.
And the other nice thing is a lot of these packages, you can sit there within them. They have multiple packages. Like Sling happened to have the blue and the orange package. And then you got other add-ons that you can do. You're not just forced to take this whole group.
Right.
A cable. You just order this, and you get everything, whether you want the cooking channel or this or that. A lot of that stuff is sorted out into different packages.
Right.
Depending on your take. You know, if you're a big sports person, they've got ones that will go that direction for you.
Yep. It's just a matter of finding the one that you want.
Mm-hmm. All right, we did have somebody text in, and they, because going back here just for a little bit,
yeah.
Somebody questioning about Revo. Is there a Mac equivalent or need? Have a 2009 MacBook Pro
El Capitan.
Okay. Seems a lot slower and poor battery life.
Well, one of the issues is he said it was a 2009. That could be part of it. In general, a Mac doesn't have the same issue because there is no registry that accumulates with Cruft. Most programs are a self-contained package, so all the programs, the resources, and whatnot are in that in that one file. And typically, just dragging that file to the trash will uninstall it. There is a commercial program called App Zapper that will go through and try to find the preference files for programs that you've removed. Preference files are generally small, and they don't really cause a problem. But some people like doing cleaning of things like that as well.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Joe from Cheek.
Tawaga, New York.
On the line. Hiya, Joe. What's up?
Well, you're speaking about cutting the cord, and I am really pleased with a product made by Silicon Dust. It's called the HD Home Run. And if you've heard of network attached storage, this is a network attached tuner.
Ooh.
You plug it into your network, and you can use VLC or any other, you know, almost any other video program to watch TV from this network-attached tuner box. It's really kind of slick. I have it connected up to my Myth TV, and for those who've never heard of it, Myth TV is a open-source DVR.
Yeah.
And it records programs. Just so happens, digital TV also has a provision for transmitting what's on and what's going to be on in the next, I don't remember how much it is, so many hours. So you can actually schedule, hey, I want to tape, record, I should say.
Right.
I want to record MASH or Night Court or NBC Nightly News or whatever you want, because over the air it'll say, oh, okay, this is coming up in the next few hours, and Myth TV will notice that and say, oh, yeah, okay, go record that.
Oh, interesting.
And they have models with multiple tuners, so if there happens to be several shows on at the same time you want, you can get them.
Yes, I have a Quattro in particular, so I can record up to 4 programs at once.
And does this include a hard drive, or do you add that separately?
No, it's only the tuner.
Okay.
For the HD Home Run. But the Myth TV, I mean, I've actually made a Raspberry Pi into a Myth TV, so it has a USB hard disk connected to it, and network, it plugs into the network, so it basically grabs the MPEG transport stream off the HD Home Run and puts it on hard disk, and it updates the database. Oh, okay, I recorded MASH on this date and time, and it's in this file. And the front end, you go to watch it, it just says, oh, okay, you have, like, MASH recorded here. Go watch it.
Right. Nice. It looks like a pretty cool deal, and it looks like it's not terribly expensive.
Yeah,
I'm pretty impressed.
Fairly reasonable. I mean, the 4-tuner one, it was a little on the expensive side, but I figured if there's, you know, 2 or 3 things that I want to record simultaneously, I have the capacity.
Yep.
Oh, and they even have their own
streaming server. Yeah,
servers.
So the basic version is for use with the digital antenna for free broadcast TV. But now they have the premium service with actual traditional cable channels over the internet.
That's true. They do offer Silicon Dust does offer that service where you can get your A&E or your USA, AMC, those sorts of channels from them for a fee. It's not too bad. I don't subscribe to that personally, but honestly, I'm recording more over the air than I can really watch in a day unless I take a vacation.
Right. Well, I do the same thing, and I have to be honest about that.
I keep forgetting Comet TV on broadcast because they show a lot of old sci-fi. And so on the weekends, they show Space 1999. And Andromeda and Babylon 5, so all those shows like grew up on. No, yeah, that you don't see much anymore. So that's kind of neat. That what's interesting is it's not available on cable. It's only on broadcast. But they do have an Apple TV app, so I can watch it on my Apple TV over the internet instead of on the antenna, which sometimes cuts in and out.
Nice.
And at the top of the show, you were talking about Amazon deliveries.
Yeah.
Of course, most of us, we have to go to work every weekday, and we're not around for when the delivery people come. So Amazon does have a nice feature called Amazon Locker. So basically the way it works is they have a certain space set aside in many locations, and most recently because they bought Whole Foods, they're in almost all Whole Foods location if you have those around Rochester.
Right.
And the UPS or the Postal Service, whatever, delivers to basically a locker. They send you a six-digit code. So you walk up to the machine, you tap on the screen, you punch in your six-digit code, and a solenoid pops open that locker, and you go, you get your stuff. Close it back up. You might have two or three. It knows, oh, okay, that's this customer. It'll show you that, oh, you have three lockers that have stuff in it.
Nice.
Really, really nifty. And if you're worried about, as they call them, porch pirates.
Right.
They were also testing in some areas delivery to your trunk. So, you know, while you're at work, they will deliver to your car. And apparently only models that have remote trunk release. So that when the delivery person gets up to your car, the trunk will open and they put the box in it and close the trunk.
Right.
My thought was, why don't you just have it delivered to your office and pick it up in the regular mail? I guess in bigger offices you may not be able to do that.
Stuff like they also have that program. Well, they drop it off at your house.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They unlock the door and put it inside. And theoretically, there's a camera pointing at the door, so that the thieves won't do that. But people figured out how to bypass that camera almost immediately.
Yeah, I don't like ceding that kind of control to people like that. It's just I don't want them opening my doors or my trunk or anything like that. I'll do that in the opposite direction. I'll have them put it someplace where I can get at it.
Right, absolutely.
All right,
I get it.
Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
All right, have fun.
Oh, it looks like there's an Amazon locker right near us here at the studio.
Very cool. Yeah, I like the idea of this silicon dust thing. It looks pretty nice. I'll have to add that to my list of stuff to look at. Just keep piling it on, people.
Yep.
Well, somebody just texted and says, soundbites. I use Myth TV, too, with HD Home Run.
Yep.
It is great. I use the linhes.org variant, which erases installations and updates.
Now, what is that? What is that last thing?
I use it. They spelled it out. linhes.org variant, which erases installations and updates.
Oh, the Linux Home Entertainment System.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like XBMC, an OS specifically for managing your media. In fact, didn't they rename the Xbox Media Controller, XBMC, isn't that something new now?
It's Kodi, or is that the other way around? Kodi became HBXC? I don't know.
No, it's XBMC.
The other way around. I think HXBC became
Kodi, yeah.
Because that's what it was originally with the Raspberry Pi, mm-hmm. And then Kodi jumped in.
Well, even before that, it was on the Xbox when Microsoft started putting home entertainment, so you could get TV shows and movies on your Xbox. And now now Kodi is available to run on your own computer, like a Raspberry Pi or an old computer you've got lying around, and it can pull in shows from all over the internet. What Kodi gets somewhat of a bad reputation because there are illegal streams available,
mm-hmm.
Right.
As well as plenty of legal ones.
Right.
But
that's something we should point out. A lot of the things that we're talking about here, we are talking about in an illegal manner.
Correct.
What you and what happens between you and your consenting adult computer at home is your business. I don't care. But when we're talking about things like Kodi and Myth TV and Linhes and all the other stuff, we're talking about using them in the legitimate legal manner.
Or any of the other stuff that, asks for a fee. You pay for it.
Right. You pay for it. That's why I always, in the Security Tango, every one of those things says you should be paying for this.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages them to keep it up. People complain, well, you know, Google stopped doing this and Google stopped doing that. Well, it was free.
Yeah,
and it went away. Yeah. Get over mm-hmm. yourself. If they were paying for it, you'd have a complaint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't like it any better than you do, but it is the it is what it is.
Well, hello, the person or the company that's trying to create this product, if you're not supporting it, they can't stay in business, and that's when things get broke or things get, you know, through because, you know, people aren't supporting them to keep up the great work and patch things that have holes because there's always... Always. I don't care about what product it is. There's always hackers out there trying to find a way of something very innocent and messing it up.
Right.
Just for their own exploits of maybe even just getting in, you know, attaching themselves to your good program, getting into somebody's computer and stealing information, whether it's as simple as emails.
A lot of people I've heard. We'll use BitTorrent type programs to download illegal content.
Right.
And so BitTorrent itself is not illegal. It's used for sharing, you know, large files. And what most people don't realize is when you install one of those programs, it shares your files.
Right.
And if you're not careful, it will share all of your files
right.
to the internet. So you might think that you're stealing some movie that you don't want to pay for, but in fact you are sharing stuff on your hard drive,
mm-hmm.
and it's fairly likely that the MPAA and the other copyright holders are tracking those types of downloads.
Right.
You used to tell stories about RIT where the marshals would show up every week or so and say,
"Take a kid away."
Yeah.
Yep. We tend to think that, you know, when you're on the dark web or BitTorrent or Kodi or one of these, that you are anonymous. You are not. The fact is, pay attention, at some point that file comes to your computer. In order for that file to come to your computer, the other machine has to know where you are. There's no way around that. So all I have to do is go to that other machine with a federal warrant and say, give me your logs. Well, we don't keep logs. The computer keeps logs, even if you don't know it, even if you don't pay attention to it. There's traces that can be followed. So give us your information, and we will find the person who downloaded this. There is no hiding on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to make it difficult to be tracked, but ultimately there is no hiding on the internet.
In fact, what did we read? That if you run a VPN or try to run an Onion browser, the NSA looks at you specifically because what are you trying to hide?
Yep, that's exactly right. And none
which
of that
bad
stuff
for
is
people
as
that need something secure, but
right, and none of that is as secure as you think it is. But these systems like this Linux Home Entertainment System or Kodi or whatever are designed to facilitate your using them in a legal manner.
Right. And now that there are legitimate legal streaming services, the need for the pirate stuff has drastically died off. That was one of Steve Jobs' early sentiments when they opened the iTunes Music Store, is that, you know, you give people good music at a reasonable price, and 99 cents a song was pretty reasonable.
Pretty reasonable.
And music piracy almost stopped overnight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because people generally want to be legal. They want to pay for what they buy. And if you give them an easy way to do it, I've heard some really interesting stories about people who wanted to buy, you know, like the first season of Game of Thrones before HBO made it easily. In fact, I don't even know anymore if it's still easily downloadable. That they were in, especially if you're in a different country. Well, like I was mentioning earlier, wanting to get the Red Dwarf discs and see Red Dwarf, I have to wait until it gets exported to the U.S. because that's the way it works.
Right.
And so it can be tricky. But as long as there's a legal way to do it, I'm happy
to
do it.
Well, plus the music, you could sit there, and I think what was very appealing for folks is doing 99 cents a song. They didn't have to buy the whole darn CD for just a couple songs. They could cherry pick literally what songs they wanted off that CD and only pay for those and add it to their playlist.
Right. And I did it when we bought my daughter her first iPod. I told her, I will buy you one song a week, 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you buy, if I find that you have downloaded any pirated music, this thing goes away forever. And she knew I was serious.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, Dad, I always buy albums. I always buy CDs because I like the liner notes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Not many services offer digital liner notes.
Right, right, right. So that's she. Well, we, God bless her. We tried to raise her right, and somehow it took. But yeah, you got to find that with this stuff, you have a lot of ability to do things illegally, and I guess it depends on what kind of human being you are, as to whether or not you avoid that or not. I don't know. I'm one of the people who's looked at that stuff. I've been on the dark web. I've downloaded Kodi and played with it, but not in order to keep it, in order to learn about it. And then I threw it away. I dumped it all. It was all running on a
Raspberry Pi.
Well, one, I have a Raspberry Pi, but this was running on what do you call them?
Flash drive?
No, when you set up a
VM.
VM, thank you.
Virtual machine.
It's just gone out of my head. Virtual machine. And so I was able to dump that when I was done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sure, I looked at it. And sure, it's tempting, but I don't need to be tempted. I can avoid temptation. And apparently everything but food. But I can avoid temptation. And so in terms of that stuff, I got rid of it. But it certainly is seductive. I understand that. I certainly understand that. But these abilities to use things like Myth TV and Kodi and the Linux Home Entertainment System, you're right. They're kind of going by the wayside now. If you can do it all legitimately at the ridiculously inexpensive prices that are out there now. I mean, I get it. If it's $100, $150, it's $200, like some streaming entertainment systems still are, there's a big incentive to cheat.
Yeah.
To steal. I get that. I do. But when it's $35 a month or $30 or $25 or $40.
Yeah. I mean, mine's $30 a month and it's great.
And it's everything you want. Yeah. Why would you steal it when it's that cheap?
That plus.
I thought we were saying you have to buy that one. But
Right.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of them out there. And again, they are very inexpensive.
Right.
Compared to regular cable TV and where you get stuffed with all these other channels that maybe you don't want, this is an option to where you can pick a package,
right,
and add on to that package if you want, because they have other smaller packages. Like right now, Sling is offering and running ads on TV. If you want to add sports, you can add it. I think another one, Digital Dish, is offering a sports package that you can add that on. They're offering these packages inexpensively that you can also drop once the season's over with.
Right, right.
And that's the great thing about it, where cable, once you sign up for it, yeah, you're stuck with it. You know, it's part of your package.
One of my minions once bought the MLB package, Major League Baseball package. He could watch every single game, every single, and there's like 600,000, I think, in a season, something along that line. Yeah. So it was well worth whatever he was paying for it, but he could watch them day and night, and believe me when I tell you he did. And it was inexpensive for him. It meant he got to see every game, and it made him happy. And I understand that. I completely get it. And it seems to be that more and more companies are making those sorts of packages and making those sorts of things available. And I think it only behooves us all to support those efforts. Doesn't cost us much money. And what are you going to do with the money anyway? For Pete's sake, spend it on something you enjoy.
Donate it to Jazz 90.1.
Yeah. Donate it to Jazz 90.1. That's certainly something you enjoy. And clearly, because you're listening. I have to say that's the way it should be done. So those and with something like with any of these, you can add those DVR packages, which means I find increasingly that I watch almost nothing in real time anymore. Almost nothing. Yeah. First, I don't want the commercials.
Yeah. That's one thing that annoys me now. I've gotten so spoiled by, you know, being able to go to a program, click on it, and it just goes. And like I said, if I miss the beginning, I can click on it and say, start from the beginning, and it does. And again, it goes right through, no commercials.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep.
I've gotten so used to it that when I am watching live show, I'll still hit the fast forward button.
<Same thing. laughs>
It's not working.
And it says this feature's not available. Right.
Or sometimes I'll hit pause. I'll hit pause and then go get something to drink just to let the buffer fill a little.
So I can start skipping the commercial. You're absolutely right. I do the same thing. It's
if I've seen the commercial before, I'll skip it. But
the show starts at 9, I'll start watching at 9:15.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's the sort of thing that that you gain for, you know, you're paying, you'll pay one way or the other. You'll watch the commercials or you'll pay to skip the commercials. It's that simple. You don't get, you know, there's no third choice. Well, not legal. There's no legal third choice. I continue to stare greedily at the lustfully at the various cord cutting packages, and as Joel said, December 12th at JCC 1 p.m. there's a cord cutting presentation. Well, that music tells me you wasted 2 hours of your life with this nonsense. We're done for this week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I don't know that I will, but I want to. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week long. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's exactly right. You've just spent 2 hours listening to sound bites right here on the Truly Great. And we are truly grateful to you that we are member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours.